Keep your Bibles open to Matthew chapter 6. Let's pray before we begin. Dear Lord, dear Jesus, thank you for speaking these words on that day when you spoke on the mountainside, the Sermon on the Mount. Dear Lord, give us wisdom to be able to hear what you are saying to us today, to be able to relate it to our own lives, but also give us the courage to follow you wholeheartedly, dear Jesus, to treasure you above all things, we pray. Amen. In your bulletin, if you open that up, you'll see this little outline there which will show you where I'm going. Today we call this Kingdom Treasure. 1977 marked a major turning point in my life. I was 9 and my life was about to change forever, because it was that year, 40 years ago, that Star Wars Episode 4, A New Hope, burst onto the movie screens. And I was well and truly converted. I read the book. I bought the soundtrack. I stuck the poster of Princess Leia on my bedroom door. And that year at Christmas, as Christmas approached, Mum gave me $10, a lot of money in 1977, to buy all my Christmas presents for the whole family. As I walked around Carlingford Court Shopping Centre, which was the biggest mall at the time, the toy shop suddenly announced over the loudspeaker the arrival of a new shipment of Star Wars action figurines. I remember this day clearly, that they were now selling for the amazingly low price of only $2 each. I remember the box that they opened up in the store, and shaking with nervous anticipation, I squeezed through the frenzied crowd, managing to grab 5 of these superbly realistic plastic replicas, take the $10 note out of my back pocket of my tight brown stubby shorts and hand it over. What about the rest of my family? Well, with the remaining 40 cents of my own money that I had brought along, I promptly walked into the news agency next door and bought each of my brothers and sisters a 10-cent eraser. I went home and wrapped them up. Merry Christmas. What do you treasure the most? What do you treasure first in your heart? Because like me as a 9-year-old, it's often obvious what we treasure. It's often clear by how we live and the decisions that we're making, what our priorities are, what we care about the most. As we continue looking at the Sermon of the Mount, Jesus has some very challenging words to say to us about what he wants our priorities to be. Jesus wants to turn our thinking completely upside down. He's going to do this by talking about 2 treasures, 2 masters, 2 worries, and 2 examples, and then calling us to make 1 choice that will radically shape our lives from now on. So first, 2 treasures, but only 1 which lasts. Let's read again verses 19 to 21. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. You don't store up for yourselves treasures on earth. I don't know about you, but this is a hard command to follow, isn't it? When the favourite leisure activity for many Australians is shopping. But Jesus says, stop being so focused on earthly treasures, things that won't last, things that wear out, things that can be stolen or go out of fashion, or technologies which constantly need upgrading. So material blessings aren't bad in themselves. But spend your life accumulating anything as your number one priority will only spell disaster. to miss out on a relationship with God because our hearts have been obsessed with material things which won't last, instead of God and His kingdom. Instead, Jesus tells us to store up treasures in heaven, treasure that will last, by first making sure that we have a relationship with God, by firmly trusting in Jesus alone, in His death on a cross for our salvation, what we're remembering today at the Lord's Supper. Secondly, now living with Jesus as our King, learning to put Him first in all our decision making, as we saw in the Beatitudes in chapter 5, being people who mourn over sin, who hunger and thirst for righteousness, who show mercy to other people, who are pure in heart, who are peacemakers in our relationships, even willing to be persecuted for standing up for Jesus in the world. Focusing on the kingdom and its values, promises welcome into an eternity that will never pass away. But if we focus our hearts on accumulating stuff, we will lose everything. A point two, two masters, but only one worth our devotion. Let's read again verses 22 to 23. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Renee is very good at making sure that I am safe when I'm driving. It's 60 here. Now don't get so close. Both hands on the wheel. Stop picking your nose. Concentrate on the road ahead. What Renee hates most is when I take my eyes off the road and start looking at other things going around on around me. Because as you look around you, you actually start drifting. Imperceptibly, you start drifting towards the things that you fix your eyes on. Renee notices that when I drive, I'll slowly steer across. Jesus also warns us the things you fix your eyes and thoughts on determines where your whole life is heading. When your eye is fixed on living to please God, growing in purity and maturity of thought and behavior, your life will be one shining light, appointing other people to Jesus. When your eyes are bad, when you're just focused on yourself, obsessed with your desires or ambitions or things which are unhelpful and impure, your life will be full of darkness, heading for destruction. You're either devoted to God or you're devoted to something else. Verse 24, no one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. See, God has made us to know Him and to love Him and serve Him. He's the one who has designed us, so only God knows what is best for us. And either God is the master and commander of your life, determining how you live, or something else is. You can't serve two masters, both pulling you in completely different directions. You're either devoted to God or you're devoted to something else. You worship earthly things, and that's called idolatry. When money or anything else takes pride of place in your heart instead of God, you've got a big problem. Because eternal life can only be yours when God rules the throne room of your heart. God is a jealous God. The Old Testament's constantly telling us this, isn't it? God is a jealous God. That doesn't mean He's like a jealous girlfriend who has to text you every 5 minutes to find out what you're doing. No, God is jealous in that He won't share you. Jesus demands all of you. But while money is a cruel master, it promises security and freedom and status and leisure. You have to work like a slave to earn it, and what it promises, it cannot ultimately deliver. But Jesus is worthy of our devotion, who loves us so much that he would die for us, what we were remembering today, who liberates us from the tyranny of sin and death and Satan, and tells us that we can't earn what he's done for us, but that eternal life is a gift from God. See, if you have to choose between two masters, between Jesus or money or something else, choose a good master that will ultimately deliver on his promises, who can actually deliver security and eternal satisfaction. Choose Jesus. Point three, two worries and two examples of God's intimate care. Verses 25 to 27, let's read those together in our Bibles. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air, they do not sow or reap or store away in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? It's kind of amazing to think that Jesus wrote these words 2,000 years ago, when as a society today we have never been more consumed with eating and drinking than we are today. Even those shows such as My Kitchen Rules and MasterChef are seen much more about people making a name for themselves as B-list celebrities than about food. But again, there's nothing wrong with the enjoyment of cooking. I love cooking. But what Jesus is saying is that there's more to life than eating and drinking. Stop worrying about what you eat or drink. Birds don't even have refrigerators or microwave ovens, but they do okay because God cares for them intimately. And seeing that you are far more valuable to God than birds, he can be trusted to provide your basic needs. Verses 28 and 30. Why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon, in all his splendor, was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Again, we've never been so consumed by the way we look. In America, they even had a reality TV show called Bridalplasty, where 12 soon-to-be-married women, engaged women, compete for the plastic surgery makeover of their dreams. In the series finale, the winning bride revealed her post-operative body to her groom, witnessing his emotional and possibly shocked reaction as they stand at the altar and he lifts her veil to see her new face for the very first time. His enhanced lips, that nose. But Jesus says there is more to life than clothes and makeup and plastic surgery. Stop worrying about your body and what you wear. Think how gorgeous and stunning wildflowers are. You don't see flowers changing fashions every day, or lining up every couple of weeks to get their hair and nails done. God cares for them intimately, seeing that you are far more valuable to God than flowers which last only a few weeks or even days. Don't you think he can be trusted to provide your basic needs? But Jesus isn't saying not to buy clothes from now on or not to get your hair done, just to put him and his kingdom first, not how you look. So finally, point four. Jesus now gives us one choice to seek first God's kingdom and then trust him to provide our daily needs. Verses 31 to 34. Let's read those last verses together. So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Jesus' words here are the great antidote to the worry and consumerism of our time. We live in an age when we've never had it so good. Never been richer, more affluent. And yet we've never been so worried, depressed, unhappy, and dissatisfied. But Jesus promises us today that if we seek him and put him first, he doesn't only promise eternal security, but even promises to provide the essentials that you and I need to live each day as well. To provide for us, to provide for our families. God promises that if we trust him and put his kingdom first, he'll take care of the rest. Just as he does in providing so perfectly for the rest of creation. No more worrying about stuff that won't last. No more worrying about food and what we're going to wear. But secure as God's children forever and now free to serve him and care for the needs of others. This doesn't mean we never have to work to provide for our families. This is the perfect excuse to just drop out of society and not play our part. It also doesn't mean that we won't sometimes go through difficulties and hardships in life, because even Jesus, who trusted God like no one before or after him, knew as he was saying these words that the cross lay before him. Jesus himself knew that what it was like to never own a permanent residence, but have no place to lay his head. What Jesus is trying to help us see in that putting him first, life will be radically different from those who don't know God, who run after all these things that won't last. Knowing that we are in God's intimate care, we don't have to fret during exam time, at school or at uni. We can love and help others prepare, maybe helping overseas students who might be struggling with the English language. As new work options present themselves, we don't have to fret, but can pray and strive to make choices that are not based on the largest salary, but the best opportunity to serve God and give more time to our family. On the Sunshine Coast, one of my best friends up there, Tim. Tim, instead of working in high-paying and demanding restaurants as a chef, he's a very good chef. Being a chef can be very costly, the hours, the nights, the hours that you need to put in. A great cost to his family. Instead of that, he chose to honour God and be available for his family by cooking in nursing homes on the Sunshine Coast, preparing food for nursing homes. It's quite a humbling thing for him if he ever changes the way that he cuts up carrot or slices potatoes. There's always complaints. But for him, he's doing it to spend time with God, to be available for church and home group, to be available for his kids as they're growing up. We no longer have to worry about the size of house we own or the quality of car we drive, but can make choices that limit the amount we borrow so that we can better invest in the local church efforts, even overseas mission. If we seek God's kingdom first, we are trusting that God will meet our needs. But if we seek to meet our own needs first, we will miss out on the kingdom. Recently, Renee and I played a game of Monopoly that lasted a couple of days. We bought our properties. We traded to form sets to enable us to build hotels on many of them so that the rents we could charge were outrageous. We both collected quite a substantial amount of money. I always like to have a few $500 notes tucked away, stashed away under the board that Renee doesn't know about. After a few days, it was all over. Renee packed it up without my knowing because she knew deep down that I was winning. She closed the box, put it back in the games cupboard. Monopoly is funny like that, isn't it? You play like a tycoon. You blow money like it's going out of style, and once it's over, you pack it up, put it away, and return to the real world. And one day, God is going to close the box on this world. He's going to pack it all up and put it away. On that day, many of the things that we valued will be worthless. If we've spent our lives focusing on playing the games of this world, collecting real estate, building up a healthy, overly healthy investment portfolios, worrying about sufficient enough pension that allows us to continue the lifestyle that we're used to into old age, putting beauty and fashion and comfort and entertainment and food first. All these things first, that's what I'm talking about. Making these the priorities of our hearts. When we stand before God, it will be like we'll all be standing there like with monopoly money before God. Worthless. If we listen to Jesus and make the decision to put Him first in our hearts, eternal reward is ours. What do you treasure the most? Isn't it true that while we laughed at my Star Wars figure frenzy, spending $10 on myself, 40 cents on others, isn't it true that this is how we often live and treat God and other people? I put myself first, I give God the leftovers. When we put God and His kingdom first, Jesus offers us these things: treasure that lasts, a master worth our devotion, and a God who promises to intimately care for us. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, thank you for this opportunity to look at our own hearts today. I know in myself I can often be fixated by the wrong things. For me, personally, spending too long on eBay, time that's taken away from other things, that are obsessing over little bits of junk, instead of putting you first. Dear Lord, for each of us, there's something different. There's something that we are tempted to make our great treasure, to treasure instead of you, to put first in our lives instead of you and our kingdom and your kingdom. Help us to put everything down a notch compared to you, everything under you, that you would be our greatest treasure, dear Jesus. That even as we celebrate the Lord's Supper today, the bread and the wine, your body and blood poured out for us, so that we can enjoy eternal life with you and loving each other forever. Help us not to get caught up in the things of this world that will, in the end, many of them will end up like a monopoly game, monopoly money. Worthless. When you wrap up this world and you bring us into the new heavens and the new earth that will never fade away. Help us to invest in things that will last. Treasuring you. Reading your word which lasts for eternity. Investing in people who also last for eternity. To value people. To share Jesus with them. Help us to look at our priorities, dear Jesus, that we might treasure you above all things and trust you intimately with our lives. We pray these things in your holy name. Amen. I ask